5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Listen, I want to thank you for your support. If you are watching, please hit the subscribe button. I'm telling you, it's a free way to help the show. If you have nothing out there, you say, what can I do to help? Hit the subscribe button. That's what you can do. It's free to you. It means nothing to you and everything to us, I promise. The Patreon continues to grow every month. You guys, your stories are mind-blowing. All right, we got a death janitor who's out there cleaning up suicides and everything else. He's out there cleaning up our messes. The girl that had two pussies that came on, she's back with one pussy. We do the update on that. So it's $5 a month. If you or someone you know has that story, has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. You'll get the Honeydew a day early ad free at no additional cost. And if you sign up for a year, you're getting over a month free. All right. You guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today I'm very excited to have here, first time on the Honeydew, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Nick Swartzen. Welcome to the Honeydew, Nick Swartzen.
That's what's up. What's up, Ryan? Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Listen, thank you for making this work.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for repping all the Golden Girls and the Twins. I know you're a Minnesota
dude,
guy.
Dude, I'm covering everything. Then I just went to the Joshua Tree and I got this hat.
I saw you get out of the fucking car and I saw this and I was like, yes. You almost got run over.
Yeah, I'll get into that. But yeah, I got this jacket a while ago, like one of those, whatever it's called on Instagram, where like you just start buying. I was buying like retro t-shirts. So they would send me like, hey, do you want this? And then they sent me this and I was like, oh, I'm fucking, yeah, I want a Golden Girls starter jacket. It's not an actual starter, but it's like kind of like that. So I bought one for me and my friend Alfonso, and we each have one. And then I always like wore it, and people are like, oh, cool. And then I kind of, in the back of my head, like I grew up in like the 80s, where, you know, you would get robbed for having a starter jacket, 80s and 90s, like all that happened a lot where I grew up. So then I really got worried about this, where I was like, oh, is somebody going to like jack me for this? Because I would get compliments all the time, and I'd be like, that'd be so funny if I got jacked by like an 80-year-old lady walking out of like a nursing home and was like, I need that. Just pulls out a fucking glizzy and then fucking flizzip. But and then when Betty White passed away, rest in peace, then I got fucking hella nervous,
that,
dude.
That thing just went
up in value. Yeah, because then I was like, oh no, I'm a walking target.
All the Beatles are gone next month.
Yeah, so don't fucking rob me if you see me wearing this.
Oh, man. All right. I'm very excited to talk to you. But before we do, promote, plug, everything you want. Do it all.
I'm so excited. I got a bunch of tour dates coming up. So my website is nickswartzen.net. My dates are going to be posted soon. I don't know when this airs. But they'll be posted like within a couple days.
Oh, this will be up.
Yeah. So I've got a ton of dates coming up. And they're all club dates, which is super fun. Orlando, Naples, West Palm Beach, Key West, Denver, Brea, Irvine Improvs, a bunch of dates. And then theater dates, the Wilburn, Boston, Foxwoods, all those in June, Minneapolis, where I'm from. So I've got a bunch of dates coming up. And then if you can't make those, I'm on the Cameo app. So I do cameos and stuff, which are super fun. I do a lot of my characters. If you want me to do a greeting, it's like Terry or Dolph from Just Go With It. Those are the two main ones. Or just me, Nick Swartzen. That's what's up.
I love it. I just had to talk with you off camera about Cameo because I've been unsure about it. But you really...
I love it.
Yeah, you put a good, nice personal spin on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I was... When I first started doing it, people were like, oh, you're doing that? And I'm like... Yeah, it's fucking fun. And for people that can't make a show, I don't charge like, I can't remember who it was. They're like, I don't want to do it. So I just put my price at $10,000.
10 grand.
Yeah. And so, yeah, mine's like 150 bucks. And I make it super personal, like as Terry and whatever. And then I was like, you know, if you can't make a show, a price of a show is fucking 40, 45 bucks a ticket, 50 bucks maybe. And then you go dinner and drinks and, you know, whatever.
Parking,
and
it's like, babysitters, all
yeah.
that.
Yeah, but I make it really personal and I really have fun doing it. And it's been great. I have a blast, you know what I mean? So, yeah, if you want to do it. If not, come to a show. But the dates will be up. NickSwartzen.net. I know it's annoying. It's fucking .net.
Why is it .net?
I don't fucking know, man. Betty White probably did it.
All right, so I know you're a Minnesota guy, but outside of that, I don't know much about your upbringing. So let's talk a little
bit. That'd be fucking disturbing if you were like, in second grade, I remember watching you in the playground. So yeah, I'm glad you don't know a lot.
Tell me about your mom, dad, siblings, stuff like that. Let's start there.
No, my mom's back in Minnesota with my sister and brother. My father passed away.
How long ago did your dad pass?
13 years ago.
Okay.
We took him off life support on Thanksgiving. That's great.
Come on.
Yeah, it's always great when somebody dies close to you, like on a holiday, and then that holiday just forever is like.
That's the same.
Pass the turkey. Yeah. Remember when dad died today? Anyway, once turkey.
So hold on. We're going to just start there. How were you close with your dad?
Yeah, I was very close to my dad. He was awesome. He was a writer, really, really brilliant. And he started as like a corporate job and then he had a family and stuff and he just wasn't a corporate dude. But, you know, he came from that era where, you know, you had to get like, you know, a corporate job and then you had a family and that's what you did. And so him and my mom fought a lot and it was like weird. And then my mom left him. So my brother and sister weren't.
How old were you?
I was, at the perfect age of, I was 13.
Okay.
Which is, you know, that's the start of shit hitting the fan in general, just physically, emotionally. So my mom was like, no, we're leaving. So we didn't tell my dad. We just left and packed our shit up. Yeah, and her brothers and stuff. So we just dipped.
In the middle of the night?
No, during the day. My dad was at work.
And you guys were gone.
And we
did you know what was actually, you were actually doing that?
Not really. I was like, God, we're taking a lot of stuff to the store. I thought we were going grocery shopping. Why are we bringing my bed to the grocery store? It was like... And then she kind of like told me like halfway through, she has like the oven. She's like, we're getting the fuck. Oh, sorry. I'm leaving your dad. We're getting the fuck out of here. I'm like, oh, all right. So we left our house and moved into an apartment.
Okay. But your dad was good to you guys. It was just the day
he
didn't get
great.
Along.
He was great. He just didn't get along.
And, all right. So you know, and your brother and sister and mom.
My brother's away at college. My brother and sister are both away.
All right, so you're the youngest.
Yeah, I'm the youngest. All so right.
So
yeah,
you and your mom are in an apartment in Minnesota now.
Yeah, in St. Paul.
Okay.
And we moved four blocks away, which is weird. So that wasn't even like that covert. It wasn't like, yeah, we're moving to fucking Hawaii. It was like, no, we're going to go four blocks away.
No,
you're probably
going
to run into your dad a lot.
A lot, yeah.
But yeah, so that was weird.
So what happens when he finds out?
He was confused and angry. Like a lot of people, you think they'd be like, yeah, all right, I'm out. But no, he was like bummed out and it was really awkward. And then obviously, and then he couldn't do the house. So then he got an apartment a block away.
So he came closer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he started writing. This is what kind of opened him up. And he started writing and they were amicable. My mom, my dad, she's definitely harbored more resentment. But
what sort of writing?
So he started writing for this publication called the City Pages, which is like the LA Weekly. It's like in any town, like the big like weekly, you know, interesting artsy kind of publication. So he started writing for them, but he would write editorials and stuff and he would freelance. He got published in the Washington Post. He did a lot of shit. What he did that was really cool, this kind of sums him up. He came to visit me when I lived in LA. I moved to LA. From Minnesota, I started comedy. Then I lived in New York for a couple years, and I moved to Los Angeles. I moved to Venice Beach, California. So he came to visit me in Venice, and I lived off the boardwalk, and he crashed on my couch. And he was like, what's going on here? And on every Sunday, there was riots, and a lot of gangs, a lot of riots in Venice. And my dad was like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's just every Sunday. Like, it's these kind of like get-together kind of such riots. And he was like, oh, I want to know about that. And he went and fucking... like talked to people and interviewed it and did a story about it. That got published in LA Weekly. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
And he did, this really sums him up. He fucking was curious about the United States Postal Service and how they treated their employees. And this, keep in mind, this is 20 years ago.
Also, real quick, that was a time when going postal was a term and a thing. You don't hear that much anymore, but there was a minute where people at the post office were coming in and killing each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
So he went undercover for the United States Postal Service and worked for the Postal Service.
He like really got a job?
He got a job and worked like long, weird hours. He worked over the holidays. He did all this stuff and then wrote a whole kind of expose about his experience.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, and he just lived in this like modest basement apartment. I mean, he didn't need a lot of frills. He was very artistic. Anyway, so that's my dad, and then my brother and sister are older. And my sister's married with three kids that are awesome. And my brother's a singer-songwriter in Minneapolis. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me more about your dad. What happens to your dad? What you was on life support, so did he get sick?
He got a brain aneurysm.
Man, how old was he?
21.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. No, this is so fucking stupid and how immature I am. He was 69 years old. And I tell people he's 68 because I don't like saying 69. So I literally tell people he's 68 because every time they're like, how old is your dad? I'm like, 69. And I just had a problem saying that. So they should just take that age away just in case you die at that age so people don't have to fucking go through that.
My grandmother
unless
died
you're not
at 69.
Oh, really?
She really did. She was 69.
Yeah, I'm so immature that I can't get over that. fucking embarrassing. So he was 69 and he was in the hospital. And then me and my brother, I'll never forget this, we're standing over him.
As well, real quick, where was he when it happened?
He was in Minnesota. He was in St. Paul.
Was he working?
He was in his apartment. My brother went to go, thank God.
Yeah, I was going to say, luckily somebody found him.
I think they were supposed to go to lunch or something, and he wasn't answering the phone. So my brother went over there and found my dad just like fucking zoned out or whatever.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Whatever. And so we're over him in the hospital bed, and the doctor goes, yeah, it's a really rare brain aneurysm, and it's also hereditary. And me and my brother were like, you could have just not told us that. You could have just not said that. So now we're just like, anytime like I have a headache or something, like why the fuck would you tell us that, you fucking asshole? So me and my brother.
How old are you at the time?
I mean, doing the math, I was probably, when it first happened, yeah, it was mid-20s.
That's terrible. That is a seed you don't want planted in your fucking brain, yeah.
So, yeah, and so me and my brother are like, fuck, all right. But I'm not, maybe I'll make it to 69.
So yep. How long did he last?
He had a couple more strokes, and then finally it was just, you know, that
was
scenario.
Was it years? A few years?
Yeah, it was years. He went to a halfway house, and then it was just, you know, we got him a cat, and I think he was like, he couldn't handle the cat. The litter box was poopy, and he was like, oh, maybe I got to clean it. Maybe I'll iron it. And we were like, okay, bye, kitty. Nope.
Oh, ironed.
He never did iron the cat, but he did. I think he did mention that one time. But no, it was really sad and horrible. And if you've lost a parent, I had heard what it was like. You know, people are like, oh, I lost my mom. And I'm like, oh, it's awful. And they were like, yeah. They're like, have you lost a parent? At the time, I was like, no. And they're like, it's so awful and jarring. That whether or not you got along with it, whatever it is, it's weird to just know that side of you, you know, mother or father, is gone.
Yeah.
And I had a horrible time for years and years saying that. Like, people would be like, is your dad alive? Or your parents? And I'm like, oh, my mom is. My dad's dead. And just saying that, I would start crying. And that lasted for like a couple of years.
Talk to me. Why?
Well, just saying that sentence, like, oh, no, my dad is dead. And saying
it moved
that,
you to tears, saying those words.
Yeah, it would make me like well up, where I'm like, oh fuck, you know, my dad's dead.
See, I don't envy you either. We woke up.
I was 16. I'm gonna have a brain aneurysm.
My dad died, and we found him in his bed in the morning.
Oh fuck!
But what I didn't have was a parent. Like, I realized, like, oh, some of my friends now, their parents are getting older, and some are suffering dementia, some are having to go into homes, some are having health issues. Where right. I think about it, I'm like, man, I didn't watch this man I consider to be Superman slowly.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you, and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
die and wither away. We just woke up and it was boom, it's over.
Yeah, you know, that's 42. Fucking so horrible.
It's a big difference. That's why I want to ask you, like, what is it like to watch, to see that? And then to think the whole time, like, holy shit, this could happen to me. Because I've now found out that the thing I've seen in that bed is hereditary.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
It was heart clots, blood clots
in his heart. See, that's fucking horrifying in general. Because that can happen to anybody at any time.
But I have a blood disease that I now know, but I didn't find out until I was... Because they think it's... Everything back then, this is the 89, is heart attack. If you're young, it was heart attack. And now they're realizing that a lot of that was probably blood clots.
Yeah.
You know, whether it broke off in your heart, brain, lungs, whatever... He had had a heart attack, left the hospital. They said, you do have a blood clot. We're releasing you Thanksgiving weekend. And I've told this, it's crazy. He gets out. We spent Thanksgiving in Baltimore City at my aunt's place, because he was right by Hopkins, Johns Hopkins. That's where he got out. And then we go back to our place in Carroll County on Sunday night. And Monday we have off because it's a Thanksgiving holiday and they're giving us that. Thursday, Friday, Monday. And that Monday, I have a date with one of the prettiest girls in school. And I've been wanting to go out on a date with this girl. And when we wake up, my dad's dead. And there goes everything. Your whole life changes, and it's Thanksgiving. So I'm with you on, like, Thanksgiving and Christmas are soured. Like, that whole holiday thing.
The same Thanksgiving thing.
Yeah. So when you said Thanksgiving, it fucking hit. You're saying 69. My grandmother was 69. She was right after him, so.
Is that true? You're just stealing this from me. I feel like that's the point of your podcast, is just steal people's lives from them.
I'm hacking like, your trauma.
That's weird. What was your dad's name? No, that's
so. That's horrible. I get you on,
and you. I mean,
seasonal depression or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But that shit is Thanksgiving to Christmas is tough sledding a lot.
Yeah, no, that's brutal. I'm sorry for your loss. It's awful. But you know, it's just weird when you go, oh yeah, they're dead. It's like terrible.
But you're watching it, and that's different. I discover it. You're seeing a difference in a person over time.
Yeah, which is so hard, and that happens, and that's why I feel just horrible for people that have to go through that, especially Alzheimer's, all that horrible things, is to watch somebody mentally deteriorate. You know, somebody that you know is so vivacious and hungry and loved life and who they were. And
that was he and still to able them. To keep up with his writing in a sense? Like, did he try to record things or do
he had
anything?
To stop breakdancing? That was one thing that was really hard. He did it up until the end. He did one last head spin, and then he was taken. terrible. So he did write the saddest. This is even fucking sadder. So I grew up a big Duke basketball fan. I love Duke. I don't know. Since I was a child, I remember watching them on TV, and there was just something about
them. They were the best. I'm a Maryland guy. They were the dominant.
They were dominant. But so, long story short, I got attracted to their jerseys, like that royal blue and everything. And I liked them before they were anything in the 80s. So, long story short, I've been a Duke fan my whole life. So, and I love Coach Krzyzewski. He's just such a class act. Phenomenal coach. Best coach. So, Coach K wrote a book called Leading with My Heart, and I read it, and it was great. And the last thing my dad gave me was a copy of that book, and he gave it to my brother, my sister, and me. And he wrote in the book, the last thing that he could physically write, and he wrote, my dear Nicholas, I'm leaving you with this. This will fill in the blanks for all the stuff that I wasn't there for or couldn't do. And I'm so sorry about that. But hopefully this book will help you, because my dad had read it. He goes, hopefully this will help you fill in the blanks, and I love you. And, Thick!
Wow.
So that's the last thing that he gave me. Still have it. Obviously, I didn't sell it.
You didn't pawn the book.
I gave it away at a show. I just gave it to somebody in the crowd, like, here's to fill in the blanks. I don't know what your life is. But, yeah, so that was the last thing that he pretended to wrote. Yeah. So,
and then he has to go in and say, I'm scared of this. I don't want to go into a home, because once you go into the home, that's it. They just medicate you on all the way out, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, scared. I don't know. I'm just going to stay at like live a above hotel my daughter's until garage. I die there.
I'm down to go above your garage.
Yeah, I don't know.
What I mean? Just a fridge and a little fucking microwave. That's all I need then.
I'm down to just grab some fucking H, dude. Just some black tar.
You know what? If I make it to my 80s and you really want to do that, I'll come over.
I mean, I remember it was Bill Hicks. Almost sure it was Bill Hicks. Forgive me if it's not. But he talked about terminally ill patients doing stunts in movies to die. Which is so genius. It's so brilliant. And that's how, I mean, I think that's how it should be.
If anybody can, suicide,
I'm almost sure it was Bill Hicks.
We're doing Die Hard 6.
Yeah, it sounds like Bill Hicks. Just go off a cliff and fucking, fuck yeah, dude. And it looks real as fuck. But the other thing you point out, two things, another joke, again, fuck, I'm having brain farts. I almost think it was Dave Attell. Who said, I always thought my father was a superhero, and it turns out he was just an alcoholic with a cape.
I still had the cape, yeah.
I think it's Dave. Again, if it's not, I'm almost sure it is. So forgive me if it's not. Forgive me. But one thing you touched on is people are like, oh, your dad, he died. He was so young, you know, so soon. And I thought the similar thing when I was like, actually 70, 69? That's a solid time to get the fuck out, because it's not getting greater, you know what I mean? Which is kind of a weird way to think. But, you know, he did circumvent, you know, I mean, even though we got a fucking aneurysm, but it was, you know, so many horrible things happen, like, as you get older and older and older. But, you know, hopefully not, but.
Well, guy said to me in the crowd the other night.
I don't wish my dad to have died, by the way. Don't misconstrue that.
He said, my biggest fear is dying young. And I said, well, how old are you? He goes, I'm 33. And I go, well, listen, you're past young. You're too young to die, but you're not young. You know what I mean? Like, you're 33. You're three decades into this fucking thing.
Yeah.
So, yes, it would be tragic if you died right now. I'd be too young to die. But, bro, you're not nine. You know what I mean? You're not fucking 15, right. 16. I know people that died in high school. You know, we all did.
Same here.
Okay, so your dad passes, and what is it like with your mom? Does your mom, is it affect her in a way, or were they distant enough?
No. I felt like that was her best, like, acting performance, because she was, like, we're like, yeah, we pulled the plug on dad, and she was like, oh, that's terrible.
The fuck?
No. Or, like, I think she might have, like, pulled it, like, right before us. Like, she fucking pulled it out and then, like, plugged it back in and then, like, hid in the closet or something.
Did you actually have to sign paperwork?
I don't remember. I have no idea. My brother probably did.
Yeah. Were you there when they actually turned the machine off?
No, I was there right before. We had our goodbyes and then my mom snuck in. But, no, I wasn't. I didn't physically was a part of that. But, yeah, it was weird.
And then how was the funeral?
It was interesting. It was interesting, like, who didn't show up, because this was pre-COVID.
So, yeah, that's when you didn't have an excuse, yeah.
Yeah, so it was interesting who did and who didn't, and I had to speak. I didn't mean I didn't have to, but I wanted to. And this is another thing. I wrote kind of a lot of jokes, because that's just what you do. Like, that's, when you're a comedian, like, your brain is so wired to being a comedian, at least I know me and a lot of comics are just like, you always go for a joke, just out of instinct. You don't always say it or whatever, but you think it. So that's why, like, when I'm in situations all the time, I'm always like, I'll just start laughing and people are like, what? And I'm like, and it's just something that I think in my head, but I don't say it. So when I was writing my dad's eulogy, I had all these jokes about him. And the second I hit the pulpit, I fucking lost it. You and did. I just read some of it, no jokes at all. I just was crying so hard I couldn't get through it. And I just barely did. And the only thing I remember from it.
Your mom's out there like, let's go, pussy.
Wrap it up, pussy.
My mom's like, get me up there. This motherfucker did this.
Get me up there.
But I remember the last thing I said as I go, I've always been afraid to die, and now I'm not, because I know my dad is up there, and he did it. And if he can do it, I'm not afraid anymore. That was the last thing I said. And then I immediately went to the bar.
And yeah.
Fucked up. Yeah. Still am.
Now, do you
This is all tequila.
All tequila.
Today's program is brought to you by Athletic Greens, the health and wellness company that makes comprehensive daily nutrition really, really simple. With so many stressors in life, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits and give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. Busy schedules, poor sleep, exercise, the environment, or simply not eating enough of the right foods can leave us deficient in key nutritional areas. All right, I'm taking an AG1 scoop every single day. I don't always eat right. I don't always have the time. I say that I know everybody probably could, but I'm coming home late nights from tour, different time zones. I'm out on the road. I take it with me. One tasty scoop of AG1 contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multi-mineral probiotic, green superfood blend, and more in one convenient daily serving. The special blend of high-quality bioavailable ingredients in a scoop of AG1 work together to fill the nutritional gaps in your diet, support energy and focus, aid with gut health and digestion, and support a healthy immune system, effectively replacing multiple products or pills with one healthy, delicious drink. Join the movement of athletes, moms, dads, rookies, first-timers, and everyone in between, taking ownership of their daily health and focusing on the nutritional products they really need in the simplest manner possible. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit athleticgreens.com/honeydew today. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/honeydew to take control of your health and give AG1 a try. What would you do if you didn't have high interest loans or credit card debt? Would you move to a new city? Would you start a family? Through Upstart, you can pay off your existing debt quickly with a personal loan so you can tackle your next big financial goal. Whether it's paying off credit cards or consolidating high interest debt or funding personal expenses, over 1 million people have used Upstart to get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date. Upstart knows you're more than just your credit score, so rather than looking at your credit score alone, Upstart's model considers other factors like your income, employment, and other information provided in your loan application to find you a smarter rate for your loan. And you can check your rate without impacting your credit score in just 5 minutes for loans between $1,000 all the way up to $50,000. And you can even receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/honeydew. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/honeydew. It's funny, there are all these gimmicks that promise a great night's sleep, and I don't care what kind of toppers there are, how heavy a blanket may be, it's lipstick on a pig. If you are sleeping on a terrible mattress, your sleep will be terrible. It's that simple. That's why I recommend sleeping on a Purple mattress. That's because only Purple mattresses have the Gel Flex Grid. It's a super stretchy, ultra squishy material that adapts and flexes around pressure points and doesn't retain heat. Unlike memory foam, which remembers everything, thanks to the Gel Flex Grid, Purple mattresses bounce back as you move and shift, and you'll never have that I'm stuck feeling people get with memory foam. My wonderful producer, Kirsten, here, she and her husband just got a Purple mattress. They love it. I got one for my daughter. I got a queen size. And I'm telling you, we moved out of my bed into hers, and we sit there and read books and sleep. So try your Purple mattress today, risk-free, with free shipping and returns, and financing is available too. Getting a great night's sleep starts with having a great mattress. Get a Purple mattress. Go to purple.com/honeydew and use code honeydew for a limited time. You can get 10% off any order of $200 or more. That's purple.com/honeydew, code honeydew, for 10% off any order of $200 or more. purple.com/honeydew, promo code honeydew, terms apply. Now, let's get back to the dew. Do you watch your health? Are you keeping an eye on yourself with this brain aneurysm thing? Do you even know what you can do?
I mean, it's so arbitrary. I mean, I keep an eye on my health. It's funny because I'm an extreme dichotomy of really, really healthy. And then if I don't want to be, really, really not at all. And that's all alcohol. I mean, I've done every drug, but I'm not a drug user at all. I don't even smoke weed, which baffles people still. But I love drinking. But I'm also like, this is a plant-based protein shake with like almond milk. Like I take a shitload of vitamins and stuff like that.
Are you still drinking now today?
No, not at all. I haven't drank for a couple months, like 3 months. So yeah, we had kind of talked about that.
Tell me about
earlier.
This story. I want to hear a little bit about this.
Well, a lot of my fans, the people know that I, you know, I'm a drinker. I've always promoted it. I've got tons of drinking jokes.
Can I just say this really quickly? Because I want to give you props while you fill up your drink.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking monkey high five bit. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute classic. For me, it's up there with every great fucking comedy bit you've ever seen. The fucking smile.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you see the fucking monkey, dude. It's so goddamn good. So thanks, I know dude. You're a big partier from back in the day. First, let me ask you, where does that come from? Is that just were your family drinkers, mom, dad drinkers, brothers? Like, where does the drinking come from?
So it comes, this is where it stems from. And I'll just say really quick for those of you that don't know, my special Seriously Who Farted, there's a story about when when I was in Vegas, and long story short, and it's a true story, just YouTube it or look it up, or the special is solid, but watch that monkey high five.
Iconic.
And it's really, really funny. True story about me losing a lot of money by high-fiving a monkey. Anyway, when my parents got divorced when I was 13, again, pivotal time, and that's junior high, I'm starting that, and my mom had to work 3 jobs because my dad had no money. He had quit his corporate job and he had nothing. So my mom worked 3 jobs, which left me alone and going into junior high. And it was just a very cliche. I started smoking, started drinking, and my friends were just fucking ragers.
Were you getting the alcohol at home or from like friends, any older brothers? But your mom did have some around and you would.
Not really. My mom and dad were not drinkers.
Okay.
Not, I mean, they did
so you were
very,
getting it anywhere
very casually.
Else.
Yeah. Right. So we would just. Me and my buddies, who I still talk to, we're all just, you know, we were fucking no joke, dude. We were, I mean, cutting class, selling drugs, doing any drug we could get our hands on.
In eighth grade, ninth grade?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had court-ordered rehab by the time I was 16.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh,
why?
I've talked about this before, but we were fucking insane, dude. Me and my friends were fucking insane. We were stealing cars. Some of my friends went into gangs. I mean, like I said, we're selling drugs.
What are you selling? Weed?
Usually weed and pills. But I remember, like, I went to a very inner city school, and people think, like, oh, yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota. It's like, no, it was, you know, it's ignorant to go, like, oh, yeah, I'm sure it was, like, fucking crazy. It was like, no, it was legit. There's tons of gangs, tons of drugs. There was a lot of shit going on. And, so I remember I started selling weed, and I was, I guess, on the wrong turf or whatever. And so my mom, and keep in mind, I'm, like, this little blonde, sweet kid, so you thought, and, I came home and my mom goes, what is going on? What are you doing? And I go, what do you mean? And she goes, this guy called her house and he threatened to kill me and you.
What?
And I go, that's weird. And she goes, yeah, he said you're selling drugs. And I go, no. I go, it was probably the wrong number. And she goes, is your name Nick Swarton? And I go, yeah, that is my name. It's weird. And she's like, whatever you're doing, stop. And I was like, ugh. So I stopped selling drugs. I stopped selling
weed. Death threats? Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, I had to do like damage control. I had to like go back. I'm like, hey, can somebody talk to so-and-so? Tell him to not do that, please. Because I knew who it was. But so anyway, court ordered rehab. And
why? Whatever. What did you get caught with?
I got caught smoking a blunt during school.
During school.
Which is weird because I got...
On the property?
Yeah, in school.
In it?
Yeah, me and my friends were smoking during theater class, which is so weird and kind of full circle. Not full circle, but beginning of a circle. Where I was in the balcony while the theater class was going on. I was in 10th grade. And we smoked a blunt. And of course, a fucking blunt, as you know.
So
the smoke
heavy.
Just goes right on stage. The teacher, who became my acting teacher, called the principal. They called the police. Police kicked in the door, handcuffed us, and walked
us
out.
You got handcuffed at school?
Handcuffed. I was fucking baller as fuck, dude. 16 years old during lunch period.
Are you crying?
No.
No.
Fuck no. Fucking Nick Swartzen, dog. I had a fucking... No, I was fucking... Come on. But in my head, I was like, fuck. Because I know my mom was going to flip. And so we got walked out and it was court ordered. I was going to get expelled, but I had to do court ordered rehab.
So what did you have to do? What was the rehab?
I had to go to classes and all that shit.
After school and shit?
Yeah. And I had to take like piss tests and shit.
You did?
Yeah.
And how long did you have to stay? Could they test for alcohol? It's just blood, right? For
alcohol? It was just blood. But I mean, I took it down a notch because, you know, obviously it was a big fucking deal. And so.
But you didn't get expelled from the school or anything?
I didn't
like
get
that?
Expelled. And then.
How long does the rehab last?
It was like a month.
Do you remember any people's stories, the shit they share in there, anything stand
No, because
out?
It was all teenagers. So we were all pricks. Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all like, what the fuck are we here? Like, right? Stupid. So then I, that summer after that, I just kind of decided to clean up. Like I had hit a wall with doing so many drugs. And so I was just tapped out. And so
were you playing sports at all during
high
school?
Yeah, I always played sports. And I turned my back on them when I was playing drugs. And
when you were playing drugs.
When I was playing drugs. So my mom was like, she, God bless her, she was like pushing me to stay in sports, which was so important. Like kids out there, like sports are really important. It's a release of also like what you're going through. So I played soccer and tennis. Super gangster. And I did that, and then I just cleaned up, and I decided, like, I was like, oh, I got to fucking pull the plane up now. I'm going into my junior year. My grades were – and I was a smart dude, but I just didn't pay attention because I was selling drugs, smoking nonstop. So I just did that. I started from scratch my junior year. My friends all left school. They went to other schools, like art schools, and just kept doing drugs or whatever. So I just started school, even though I knew everybody. It was a big school, but I just started alone. I had no friends. I mean, I knew people, but I was just alone, and I, like, wasn't me anymore, like the old me. And then I started taking acting as an easy grade. So I was like, I need to get my grades up. I'll take theater. So I took intermediate theater, and the teacher was like, who the fuck are you?
Is this the same teacher that called the cops on you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I go, Nick Swartzen. And she's like, where did you come from? She's like, I did a monologue. She's like, you're really, really good. And I go, I was the fucking dude in the balcony. And she was like, what?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy that got high and arrested. And I go, I cleaned up now, and I need an easy grade. Can you give me an A? And then she was like kind of offended. She was like, well, no, theater's not easy. Like, I'm just going to give you an A. But she's like, you're really fucking good. So I did a semester with them. She goes, I'm moving you up to the touring company in the advanced thing. And I'm like, oh. And so I did that. And then I got addicted to acting. So the great thing about doing that was it replaced my love of drugs and that high.
Okay.
And then I started doing improv. There's an improv company called Comedy Sports that came to my school. And I started doing that. And then I just became obsessed with acting and comedy. And my best friend became this comedian actor, Colton Dunn. Colton's an improviser. He's on the show Superstore. He's the guy in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He was a performer writer for Conan. He just did everything. So me and him just fucking went off and did that. We moved to New York and it was crazy. But yeah, I mean, it literally saved my life. It took over everything. And I threw my whole world and acting and comedy. And then after high school, I started stand-up.
Okay. But when did you start drinking again?
So when I started stand-up, I was like really determined to succeed.
Okay.
And I started again in Minnesota, And stand up to me was easy because I knew what you were going to say. Like doing improv is fucking hard because it's scary because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
So stand up, I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to say. I mean, it was still scary as fuck because it's just you on stage. But I was really focused when I started stand up. And I'm like, the fastest way to get discovered and noticed is to be clean and to tell jokes that I can tell in any state and tell on TV that everybody will get. Where the local comics would do like everything very provincial and very like local. And, you know, they would all drink and party and shit, and they weren't as focused. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm fucking going to work at this shit. And a lot of people helped me, but for the most part, the club owners were like, keep writing, and I did, and then whatever. So I got discovered by HBO after 6 months of open micing.
Damn, all right.
And they picked me as one of the top young comics in the country, and then they brought me to the Aspen Comedy Festival. So from my first open mic, I got picked by HBO. I signed with 3 Arts with Chris Rock's manager. And then I was in the comedy festival after 1 year. And then I did stand up on NBC at Comedy Showcase with Louis Anderson. So it's fucking insane. So insane.
Yeah, what a year.
Yeah. And then it just everything got fucking nuts. And then it just took off. And I started doing more and more stand up. Then I moved to New York and it was crazy. And then I didn't really start drinking years after that, where I really started drinking, where I would drink all the fucking time. And, you know, it never affected my work or anything, but, like, I just fell in love with drinking. I loved it. It was awesome.
I remember a story you told me, actually, I think, that you showed up. I don't know if you went and slept in your car or where, but you came into the improv at, like, 10 in the morning on, like, a Saturday. And you're like, guys, I can't remember where I parked.
And oh, like, yeah. Yeah, lost my car.
That's it. Lost your car. You didn't sleep in it. You lost it.
Yeah, I lost it. And then TMZ found it.
That right?
TMZ yeah. Did? I'd gone to the comedy club, and this is back when I was drinking and driving, which is fucking horrible.
Of course, yes.
If anything, I can leave anybody with anything. Do not fucking drink and drive. It is the worst, and there's no excuse. Call a friend, call an Uber, call a Lyft. Do not drink and drive. Anyway, I went to the club. I was so drunk I couldn't walk. And then these comics took me home. Somebody else drove my car. This is what I was told after the fact. I couldn't remember my gate code, so they parked it on the street. And I walked back to the club. I didn't live far from there. And I couldn't find my car in the lot. And I was like, shit. And I don't remember who drove me home. So I was like, my car's stolen. So then I just went on a bender. I didn't even care. It was a fucking Jaguar. It was a nice car. And I just went on a bender, and I just drank. And TMZ pulled over when I was walking down the street. And they were like, Nick Swartzen. I'm like, what's up? And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like, drunk, which is really smart to tell TMZ, but luckily they've always been so nice to me. And they were like, why? And I go, I don't know. I go, I lost my car. And they're like, you lost your car? And I go, it was stolen. They're like, what was it? I go, black Jaguar XFR. And they're like, okay. And so they put it on the show. They're like, Nick Swartzen lost his Jaguar, black XFR. My fucking neighbor was watching TMZ, called me. Hey, did you think you lost your car? I'm like, yeah, sad. And they're like, it's right down the street. It's a half a block down the street. And I go, no. And I went outside and there it was. And then I got a hold of TMZ and then they posted, like, we found Nick's car. So, like, I've never hated on TMZ. But, and I never did anyway, but it was the thing where I was always like, thank you, Harvey Levin.
Well, you told me that you had gotten to a point where you were drinking so much. Did you not? You got alcohol poisoning?
I got alcohol poisoning a lot. I started drinking a shitload. And a lot of people, what you asked me, is they're like, are you an alcoholic? Are you dependent on alcohol? I'm not at all. But it's a weird, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but it's a weird thing where I'm not dependent at all. Like, I don't crave alcohol. I can hang in a bar all fucking day and watch football and drink bottled water easily. So I just love drinking. And then I would get frustrated with certain things and parts of my life and things. So I would drink and, you know, kind of numb it out a little bit. But for the most part, I just always loved drinking. It was just really fun. And I would always have funny stories like blacking out and shit. Like, I talk about it in my act. I do jokes about it. And it was just always fun for me. Like, after a show is a release, and I've drank with fans a billion fucking times. I mean, I always have so much fun drinking. But, you know, I would get in the rut of, you know, I would just keep going. If I had time off And I would take breaks from acting and stuff. And if I had like 2 months off, I would drink for 2 months straight.
For real?
I mean, wake up, literally wake up, go to the bar, go pass out, nap, have lunch, and then go drink until 2 a.m.
Damn.
I would start drinking at 6 a.m. till 2 a.m.
Daily.
Daily. I would do it back to back to back to back to back.
And that doesn't like...
But I wouldn't drink like when I was filming. I would always like clean
up. Yeah, on time off.
Yeah.
But you don't throw up, you're not hungover, or you are and you just drag yourself
back.
That's the thing
about when you drink like that, you don't get hungover because you constantly have alcohol in your system.
I see. There's no
So
time
after a
off.
While, I didn't even know what hangovers were. I would just keep going. So when I got into the hospital, and that's when you asked me about my low point, was I had just wrapped a movie, The Wrong Missy, with me and David Spade. It's on Netflix.
I watched it, yeah.
And I dried out, and I remember I had some show I was developing, and it fell through, and I was, like, really fucking pissed because it's really hard. I've developed tons of shows, and they all fall through the cracks, or, like, you get fucked over by a network or whatever the fuck
Or these
happens.
Executives that loved it, they got promoted or they're leaving. Something and the new happens. People don't want your show. Always something.
So this – and a lot of people always. Go, like, how come you don't have your own show? How come you don't have this? Yeah. And I'm like, dude, you don't understand how hard it is. And how much you work, even like at the level I was at, where like with Comedy Central, I would develop all these shows and they would fall by the wayside. So I was working so hard. And so finally, I was like, fuck this. I'm going to get fucking drunk as much as I fucking can. So I took a whole summer. I did some stand-up shows, but I got fucking housed. I traveled all over. I went back to Minnesota. I went to games. I'm like, I just want to go to baseball games. I went to baseball games. I fucking hammered. And I came up like, so June, July, August, hit September. And I'm.
You're just drinking the whole time, all that time.
The fucking whole Damn. Time.
What do you drink?
Anything. At that time, I just threw all my like drinking rules out of the.
Beer.
No, I wasn't a beer guy. I was fucking vodka.
Okay.
And then, you know, somebody would throw in Fireball or some shit or whatever. So. I just got fucking housed. And then I had shows coming up and I didn't realize it, but I woke up in Minneapolis and I didn't feel good at all. Like and it was something where I wasn't used to, where I'm like, something's wrong. And my buddy picks me up, takes me to the airport, and I go, hey man, something's off. And he goes, you've been drinking, whatever, who cares? And I'm like, okay. So I go to the airport, go to the bar, have a cocktail. I fucking... It gets funnier when I almost die. So,
right to the bar.
Oh, yeah. I love airport bars, by the way. So I go to the airport bar, have a cocktail, go to the bathroom, throw it up. I'm like, ugh. I get on the plane.
And that's not normal. You're not ever throwing
no.
it up. Okay.
So I'm like, my stomach, I haven't eaten anything. So, and I'm throwing up bile, like the yellow bile.
Yep. Ugh.
But I'm no stranger to the. So I fucking throw up, go on the plane. And I'm like, now I'm getting a weird pain. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. So I'm like, can I get a cocktail, whatever? So I get a vodka, drink it. And there's a guy next to me on his laptop getting work done. And I drink the cocktail. And I'm like,
and you're going from LA to where? How long
Denver.
Is your flight? Okay, a few hours.
So not
all
that
right.
bad. So I'm, Minnesota to Denver, sorry. And so I go, oh shit. And so I have to throw up, but I didn't want to bother this guy. So I took my carry on and threw up into it.
Yeah. You did not.
Yeah,
dude.
I threw up the cocktail. And then I put it down. Bonkers. Yeah. This is how fucking bonkers I am. I go, can I get another cocktail? They give me another one. So my method was always you can drink through it.
Yeah. All right.
The worst through. I've ever been. Like, I'm always like, just drink through it. And I don't know if anybody else is this kind of fucking drinker, but usually by the third cocktail, I break even. And I'm like, oh, okay, my anxiety, everything's gone. So I do another cocktail. Fuck. I throw it up again.
Come on.
And now.
And dude hadn't noticed at all.
I think pretty sure he did. Okay, I thought right. I was being yeah. subtle. It's really hard to subtly vomit. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, really.
It's hard
yeah.
to be like, where it like perfectly goes out. Like, I'm sure I thought I was being slick, but I was like, bah! So I. I get this pain.
Are you also scared that, like, holy shit, I hope they don't have to land this plane for me?
No, I didn't. I was like, oh, I got this.
All right, so you get this pain.
this pain, it's getting worse. So I get off the plane and I go right to the bar, Denver Airport.
Did you really?
Right to the bar. Another cocktail. This one stays down. Then I have another one. I'm drinking vodka and bitters.
Trying to settle my stomach.
And then I get a banana. That's one of my go-tos. So I get a banana. And then all of a sudden I'm like, fuck. And I go to the bathroom and I throw it all up. And now the pain is getting really bad.
What are you feeling, like a burning?
It was like a real intense burning. Okay. And now I'm worried. Now I'm really worried. And I'm like, oh no. So I had two options. Check in a hotel room, just go to sleep, take a nap. Or go to an urgent care. So I called my agent and I go, hey, something's wrong. He's like, where are you? I go, Denver Airport. Something's really, really wrong. I go, I think I'm going to go to an urgent care. And he goes, okay. And I'm like, I'll call you back. So I go to the urgent care in Denver outside of the airport. And I show up. First of all, I like looked it up and they had a Yelp review and it was 1 star. This is a true story. And I go, oh. I'm like, what the fuck? How do you fuck up an urgent care? Like, it was insane. But I had no choice. So I'm like, okay, I'll just go. Let's see, hopefully. And I go and I walked
in. 1 star urgent care.
Yeah, 1 star urgent care. So I show up. And the woman behind the counter is like, I go, hey, I just need to talk to a doctor. And she goes, oh, no, you need an ambulance.
Just and looked
I,
at you and
yeah,
said
and I go, what? I don't know. And she goes, no, you need an ambulance. Calls an ambulance. The medics come. And
what does she see?
I don't know. So I'm in this room and the paramedics come and I'm throwing up. And they're like, hey. And I go, I think I'm fine. And they're like, no. And they're like looking at me. They're like, do you know where you are? They asked me all these questions. Because another thing is when you drink an altitude, I went into an altitude.
Oh, that's right.
So that hit me hard. But then I could answer all these questions. And the guy goes, are you in Grandma's Boy? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that like later, please. And they were like, we need to get you to a hospital now. And I'm like, fuck. And they loaded me into the ambulance and they put me on all these fucking tubes and IVs.
It's the brain aneurysm.
And that's, yeah.
Here it is.
I wish. So I'm in the back of the hospital and that was the lowest point. And I started crying because I was alone and I'm going to a hospital and I don't know what's going on. And I was just sitting there and I remember just tears going down my face. And I was like, holy shit, I finally hit the fucking biggest wall you could hit. And then, long story short, I was in the ER at University of Colorado, and I was there for 3 weeks.
Weeks?
3 weeks.
Whoa, I was not expecting you to say that.
Somebody with a quadruple bypass heart surgery will be in the hospital for 3 days.
Holy shit.
And I was there for 3 weeks. So I had necropancreatitis.
What is that?
It's not good. It's not a bag of fucking Skittles. So I had necropancreatitis, pneumonia, blood sepsis.
That's poison, right? Blood poison.
Altitude sickness and alcohol poisoning.
Holy shit.
All at once. So it was hell on fucking earth. I don't remember a week and a half of it.
Really?
I did major surgeries. They cleaned up my lungs, my stomach.
They had to actually do surgery?
They had to go into my body.
Yeah. And
pull out all this shit. And three weeks I was there. And when I finally got out, it was awful. But there was weeks where I could only eat ice cubes and ice chips. And I was nonstop getting blood work, tubes, everything, diarrhea all over the fucking place.
Why? The whole time you're in there?
Oh, if I went to the Diarrhea Nationals, I would have placed fucking first easily. I would have, full gold.
The Diarrhea Nationals.
Yeah, I would have fucking walked away easily with the fucking gold. So the doctor goes, my family flew in. They all flew in.
I was going to ask, did people come visit?
It was like, this is it. And two comics really helped me that were supposed to open for me in Colorado Springs. Ted Evans and David Huntsberger. They're both really funny. And they were able to track me down because my phone, my phone rang. And I guess somebody answered it in the ER.
I see.
Or whatever, the hospital. And they came and they got a hold of my family. So God bless Ted Evans and David Huntsberger. Again, very funny comics. So I got out of the hospital and the doctor goes, you had a 10% chance of living.
What?
He goes, one of those things could have killed you. The necropancreatitis for sure. Pneumonia for sure. Blood sepsis 100%. If it had gone to your heart, you'd be dead. And altitude sickness with alcohol poisoning. He's like, both those things you can get sick from and die from. And he goes, you had all five at once. So the fact that you don't have a colostomy bag, permanent brain damage, he goes, whoa, is a fucking miracle. And I was like, holy shit.
You almost drank yourself to brain damage and death?
I almost completely, yeah, completely fucking ended it all.
So 3 weeks you're in there. I imagine at 3 weeks, if it's just alcohol, you're fully detoxed. At least your blood, they've probably done everything they can for
you.
Yeah,
they were like, yeah.
So
like,
what's clean life like day one out of there?
I was very weak, obviously. I didn't fucking do a cartwheel out of there. So I like hobble on the plane, get home,
that's
change
right,
my diet.
That's right, you gotta fly.
Oh, yeah. So I had to fly home. And, you know, I just put out the APB to my roommate, my friends and everything. And, you know, I got home and I just changed my diet. I mean, my diet was never bad. That's one thing that probably saved me is the vitamins and diet that I was on. Like, I always ate healthy, even though I was a fucking mess. But, yeah, so I just detoxed. And then fucking COVID hit. So I somehow got circumvented that, getting that. But I sobered up for like 9 months and I didn't drink at all or even think about it. And so, yeah.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And then what? Then you went to Key West?
So then COVID hit. That was insane. I did a couple shows right before.
And are you, the entire time between you getting out of the hospital and COVID, are you staying off of alcohol?
Yeah, 100%.
You are, okay. But
yeah,
COVID
hits.
I didn't
even think about it.
And then a lot of people,
I was quarantined, and yeah, then I just watched Netflix and read books and changed my whole perspective on everything. And everything was a shit show. COVID, politics, everything was such a fucking mess. You know, cancel culture, PC culture. I was just like, oh my God. So this was so weird and I guess serendipitous, but I had booked a trip to Key West, Florida. I'd been all over the country. I'd never been to Key West. And it was always something that intrigued me just because it sounded, you heard it in
songs. Yeah, it sounds beautiful.
You heard authors, musicians, so many people talk about it. So I booked it in December, forgot about it. And I'm in quarantine going through the news and COVID, what's going on. And Expedia's like, hey, Nick. And I'm like, what's up, Expedia? And they're like, remember, you've got your bags packed to Key West. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm quarantined in my sister's basement, Minnesota. And it's been like two months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh fuck. So I call the resort and I was supposed to check in June 3rd. This is, what would that be? 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, hey, I booked a trip. Are you guys open? And they're like, we open June 2nd. And I'm like, no fucking way. And I go, I'm supposed to fly on June 3rd. And they're like, yeah, you're good. So I pack my bags and I fucking fly to Key West. I stopped by Charleston, South Carolina first. And I said, as I was going to move there and join my friend Danny McBride, who's fucking great.
I love Danny.
And he's like, got to move to Charleston. And so I went there and I was going to move to Charleston. And I'm like, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to Key West and then I'll come back to Charleston. And I went to Key West and I stayed for a fucking year and a half.
Dude, it was a year
I
and
was
half.
Supposed to be there for 10 days. And I stayed there for a year and a half. And I fucking fell in love with it. It was amazing. On every level, it was amazing.
What'd you love most about it?
I love the people, all the friends I made there. Taylor, Sydney, Todd, Saunders, the Retro Room, which is an arcade there that's great. Sandbar, Sports Bar. So I just made a ton of friends, but it was so far removed from everything.
Yeah.
So when I got picked up at the airport, my friend Joe Bachman, great singer, he picks me up and he goes, welcome to the island of misfit toys. And I go, what does that mean? And he goes, oh, you'll see. And I didn't know what that meant. And then the longer I stayed there, it was like so many people had a story. So many people just got away from the fucking world. And like they were very cognizant of COVID. Like they took your temperature. There were masks, you know, if you go inside places. But it was still very laid back, very like bohemian, very artsy, very just chill. It was just fucking chill. And I love the water in general. So it was just fucking great, man.
And weather year round.
Yeah, the weather was great. And it was just, you know, you drive around in golf carts and hit the water, man. I mean, it was just, it was awesome. And I fell in love with it. And it was a perfect break. And everybody I talked to back in Minnesota and LA, they're like, don't even come home. They're like, it's a shit show. They're like, every, and I was following the news and shit. I got off my social media and I just was like, I just got my like head back into reality. And I thought about my life and perspective and what I want. Cause I was so frustrated and so like, where am I going? What am I doing? And it was a great break. It was much, much needed. And I drank. I drank every day.
You did?
Yeah, totally. I didn't drink like I didn't drink like I did.
Okay.
I didn't drink to, you know, like out of just complete lunacy. I would just have cocktails, you know what I mean? And it was great. I fucking loved it.
And you were able to do that and not run them into day after day after day?
No, or? I did day after day. but I was smarter about it. I was way smarter about it.
All right,
and so that sounds stupid. People are probably listening to this going like, dude, you're an idiot, whatever, reckless, which, you know, obviously you can say that. But I knew how to do it where it wasn't stupid.
So you said you really thought about what you want out of life and all. Tell me about that. What was your refocus? You're back now. So you took a year and a half off from entertainment and everything, right?
Everything.
Everything.
I mean, I literally media, everything. The only thing I did was I did a commercial for Wendy's.
Okay.
That was on the internet. Like I flew back to LA, got some more stuff, and then came back to Key West.
Got it.
But for the most part, I didn't entertain anything. And
except for yourself, you sound like you really, you know, got to know Nick Swardson better.
Yeah, it was awesome. And like when I was quarantined is when it first started, where I was in my sister's basement. I was reading books. I was reading tons of shit. And I forgot about reading. I hadn't read in forever. And I just opened my mind up to, you know, I was turning 45. So essentially you could chalk it up to a midlife crisis, essentially. But I mean, I hope
we get 90.
Yeah.
45 would be nice.
69. But I was just like, I just pulled my head out of my ass and was like, hey, like, I didn't realize how much I had accomplished, and never sat back and was like, God, I really busted my fucking ass. Yeah,
you're a monster, bro.
But I mean, I never really thought about it. Yeah. Like how, like, I worked really hard and I was really frustrated still about certain things, but I was like, enjoy yourself. You know what I mean? And like, be good to yourself, you know, like all the great times and all the great things and the roles. And my fans have been awesome. I've always been great to my fans. I took fucking 10 photos a day with people, 12, like all the time. I'd take pictures and yeah, I love my fans, you know. And so it was just great. And I always have. But it was just nice to just be in the like in the setting and meet so many people. And one of the coolest things, my friend Johnny and Richie that work at Sandbar, and they had a celebrity wall and the pictures of celebrities that had been there. And I was like, hey, how come my pictures, you guys don't want a picture of me? And they were like, because you're Nick. You're our friend Nick. We don't even look at you like a celebrity. We did when you walked in, but you're just Nick, dude. You're just Nick that hangs out and watches games at the bar. And like, that's what I like to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I love being Nick Swardson and taking photos and stuff. I have a blast with that. But it was just nice that somebody was like, you're just Nick, because that's how I am and that's how like my stand-up is. It's just me. When you see me on stage, it's not a character. Like, that's just fucking,
yeah,
I'm laughing. I'm talking about fucking drinking and whatever the shit, my grandma.
Do you told this joke the other night. It just made me laugh so hard. And I don't want to give your material away, but you did this bit about how you forget when you're not wearing a mask. And you're like, look at this asshole.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the guy's like, you talking about me? And I was telling Eva, I said, he turned around and fucking said, no, I'm serious. And you bent over and spread your cheeks.
I'll just tell the joke.
Look at this asshole.
I go, people like get annoyed about wearing masks. And I go, I don't mind wearing a mask because, like, I've gotten used to talking to myself now. So when I wear a mask, I, like, mumble to myself, which I did. And I go, sometimes, though, I forget I'm not wearing a mask. And I'll be standing behind somebody, and I'm like, God, look at this fucking asshole. And the guy will be like, excuse me? are you talking to me? And then I have to cover it. I'm like, yeah, no, look at this fucking asshole. And I bend over and pretend to pull my ass apart. I'm like, do you think I'm sick? Do I have herpes or do I have
Yeah, that's butt, the line you said that night. Do I look sick, you said.
Yeah, do
from
I look
looking
sick?
At your asshole.
Yeah. It's so whatever. It's stupid. But but yeah, so Key West was really great for me. And then, right. like I said, now I'm back. I've got all these stand-up dates.
Yeah, and what do you want? What do you want? Do you want the same thing before? Do you still want to do everything? Or have you fallen in love with it all over again? Or
I've fallen in love with it all over again. But what I did before was I put so much pressure on me. Like, I was developing, like, 5 fucking movies at once and scripts and all this stuff. And it was stuff that I had created and was trying to write. And it's so hard to write one anything. So I just put so much pressure on myself, and I had to take a step back and stop doing that. And I had a new act that I was developing before COVID, and I got back into that. And I love doing stand-up, man. Yeah. My fans are so fucking awesome. They're so great, and they've been with me for so long. I mean, I've been doing it – in February it'll be 26 years.
Wow.
I've been doing stand-up. And so – it's great. And I've got 2 movies. I started a movie in February, a sequel to this movie called The Binge on Hulu, which is really funny. And then a movie that I helped produce and write and star in called The Buddy Games. We're doing a sequel to that in July. And it's just great. I'm really, really happy. And then I'm doing a new special. And I can't talk about that yet, but it's going to be fucking dope. I'm really excited.
And down the line, you are going to start a podcast, right?
Yeah, I'm in development to start a podcast. Yeah,
you should.
Yeah, and I've got a lot of fun ideas for it. And yeah, so I'm really, really, really happy now, and it was nice to just take a break, and, you know, and like I said, it started when I was in quarantine sober, so it wasn't like I got drunk and was like, yeah, blah. It was when I was sober and really focused, and there's a great book called Self-Reliance by Ralph Waldo Emerson, who's a transcendental dude about existence and who you are, and it's an essay, and it's really, really great, so if you're bored and you want to read something that's really interesting about yourself and just how you just have to, and it sounds cliche, but just really believe in yourself and, you know, you're important. And, you know, I didn't, you know, and I don't drink all the time. So it's not like I'm saying that from that mindset.
Well, also, there's so much that is on your shoulders, too. You specifically, when you're working and you're providing jobs for people and everything, it's a lot of stress on you. So I also want to thank you for something. One of the highlights of my career. You could have said no, but you let me come in for a table read for Bucky Larson. And I'm sitting there and you had me read for 2 characters and I get laughs in the room and it felt so good because Kurt Russell's sitting right fucking here and he and I are making eye contact laughing at these lines. And I'm like, I can't even believe Swartzen's let me sit here and do this fucking table read right now. It was so much goddamn fun.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, so I'm saying, you don't probably even know that, but you've provided for so many people for all these years, dude. So thank you. And thank you for coming on here and talking about this. I know it's not easy to open up like that.
Oh, it's super easy. I mean,
glasses are all fogging up.
Well, it's just hot. This jacket's hot as fuck, dude. I'm wearing a long sleeve Minnesota twin shirt with a fucking starter jacket and with all these lights. Talking about my dead dad. Yeah. Usually it's easy about it. What if I was... And also I'm sweating from alcohol withdrawal.
Oh, shit.
No,
well,
I'm kidding.
Thank
I'm
you
not,
for
I'm
coming
sweating.
On here, dude. For
yeah,
real.
But of course.
Go
my
ahead.
Pleasure. You're
say
awesome.
Say what you want to say.
Again, I'm glad it was cool having Kurt Russell there. He couldn't do the movie, but
I know,
it was fucking
man.
Just
he
dope
was
being
great.
Around him.
Please, one more time here. Promote everything you'd like.
NickSwartzen.net. My stand-up dates will be up soon. I start in Orlando. So mid-March, Orlando, Naples, West Palm, and then the Key West Theater April 3rd.
All right. I was going to ask if you were doing Key West. You
yeah. And
it,
then
man.
I got Comedy Works in Denver, Brea Irvine, Improvs, and then East Coast Leg, Minneapolis, possibly. That's not locked in yet. And then Wilbur Theater, Foxwoods, whole East Coast run in June.
All right.
And then Cameo app, you want me to do Terry or Dolph or Nick or whatever. It's super fun. If not, and then this is also a company, they don't sponsor me or anything. Well, they do, like, just with items. It's called 4Ocean. I'm a big into the environment and the ocean. I always have been. And 4Ocean's on Instagram, and they pull tons of trash out of the ocean and stuff like that.
Great.
They're really awesome. And that's it.
And keep an eye out for the 69, upcoming podcast.
69, bro. 69.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Rocketmoney.com/cancel.